Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Today is Tuesday, what's the date? 14th? May 14th? Yeah, I think so. Today's Tuesday, May 14th. And welcome, and I appreciate you guys joining in and listening to me for about 50 minutes or so. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm in the studio today. As you can see, I'm by myself, but that's okay. I think I mentioned last week that I'll do three shows with a guest and then maybe about two shows just me, you know, just to kind of catch up and, you know, what's going on and industry news and things like that. At least that's what, you know, that's the format I'm going with. So if you don't like it, you know, just let me know. Not that I'll change it, but, you know, just let me know. Did you guys know I can entertain myself? I mean, I laugh at my own jokes and everything, just in case you didn't know that I do laugh at my own jokes. But hope everyone had a great weekend, especially the mothers. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So I hope everyone had a great weekend, but specifically the mothers. So guess what today is? Today's Tuesday, but it's Taco Tuesday. Remember last week I kind of shared that I cook on Taco Tuesday. Well, I cook most days at home, but specifically Tuesdays because Taco Tuesday. So I come up with something creative, you know, vegetarian wise or vegan wise to prepare. I mean, it's just for me and maybe a couple other people may eat it. But yeah, that's what I do. So I try to come up with something different, something vegan. You know, did you know that the taco, the tortillas, the corn tortillas are actually vegan? They're not made with any butter, milk, or lard, anything like that. So no animal products in that. I actually did my research. So I'm sure there's some that are, but most of them are actually vegan. So look it up. You'll be surprised because I sure was. But let's don't talk about, you know, tamales, though. Now, tamales, they have all kind of stuff in there that, you know, I wouldn't eat. But I'm sure I can find some vegan tamales, too. But anyway, but it's Taco Tuesday. It's not Tamale Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. So I'll be making tacos today with my crumbles that I got from, it looks like ground beef. That's what they call it. Get it from Trader Joe's. And I'm going to mix some soy riso in there. And then the taco seasoning. Oh, it's going to be very good. It's going to be very good. But anyway, and it's also National Biscuit Day. I don't know where these people come with these days, but it's Biscuit Day. So go get a biscuit or make some biscuits. You know, try some vegan biscuits. Industry news. There's always something going on in the industry, right? I mean, I just shake my head because I don't know. I mean, I don't make up this stuff. You know, I mean, I get the stuff from wherever everyone else gets it. I mean, my sources are Skift, S-K-I-F-T. Go skift.com. It gives you, you know, some industry news, hospitality industry news, hotel news, you know, whatever, anything. It runs the whole gamut. But there's always some headline. And, you know, the stuff I've been talking about, it just keeps coming back in the news, you know. So Expedia's in the news. OK, this was maybe latter part of last week I saw this. So it says Expedia accused of coordinating hotel conspiracy. So the Utah Attorney General's office is investigating and looking into Expedia conspired with several other hotel chains, Marriott being one, Marriott, Hilton, and other hotel companies to suppress competition in online travel bookings. Okay, there's more. Keep listening. This is by manipulating Google advertising. So meaning, basically, it accuses hotel chains and Expedia of restricting competition to buy those ads. So we know with Google, you know, there's Google ads and they pay for placement. Like say if you do a Google search for hotels, whatever, they're basically saying that Expedia is only allowing Marriott, Hilton, and some other, they didn't mention the other ones, but they're only allowing them to be displayed on their page. So which means it's pushing the other ones down so you don't see. Because basically, if you go to Expedia.com or Hotels.com or whatever, most consumers will, they look for the, you know, the top three. They look at the top three. So once you do the search, like LA, okay, you do the search for LA hotels, you're not going to, most consumers don't scroll and keep looking and keep looking. They're going to look for the top, probably maybe top five or anything that's over the fold. So if you're scrolling down your computer and it's going down, you're going to look for everything that's on the top. You're not going to be looking for going to page 10 to book a reservation. That's just not going to happen. So they're basically suppressing everyone else. So they their hotels don't show. So which means it's unfair for the competition because you don't even see the competition. So suppressing them so low that you're only seeing, and this is, like I said, this is, I'm only reading this. I'm not making this up. You're only seeing Marriott brands, Hilton brands, and the other ones. And I don't know what the other ones are, but that's the newest thing. So that, I just, like I said, I just read that last week and I thought I'd bring that here. You know, I couldn't wait to type that fast enough. I couldn't type it fast enough to bring that to, you know, the people that listen to On Air with Russell Hotels. But then again, it's Hospitality Unplugged, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. So we're going to bring that stuff to you. OK, and it's like I said, I don't make up the stuff. I'm just delivering the news. So there you go. So Attorney General's office in Utah, the company that's actually that filed this complaint is Travel Pass Group. They're based in Utah. So that's why it was filed with the Utah Attorney General's, because the Attorney General's office, because Travel Pass Group is actually based in Utah. So there you go. So that's why that, and that's the latest. So look it up. Expedia accused of conspiring to suppress hotels from Google placement, basically. What's a top U.S. tourist destination? What do you think the top one is? It's Orlando, Florida, of course. You know, Disney World, things like that. People love the mouse, so they're going to go to Disney World. And why not Anaheim? Well, you know, Southern California is different. I'm sure we all know that. And Orlando, everything is about Disney World, right? And all the other little things, that the offshoots of Disney World. Everything's about that. That's just one city that's all devoted to that. So I can see that. Anaheim, you know, you kind of, people go through, you know, L.A. and all that stuff and maybe get lost or whatever. So, you know, it's the happiest place on earth, but obviously not the top U.S. destination. Top travel destinations in the U.S. for 2019. So this is two different things, right? So I have the top 10 top travel destinations in the U.S. for this year, 2019. Some of them may surprise you. I don't know. Number one is Savannah, Georgia. I've heard really good things about Savannah, Georgia. The food scene I hear is unreal. So if you ever, I've never been to Savannah. I've been to, you know, Atlanta and some of the smaller communities outside of there. But Savannah is about, I guess, about 3 hours. I think it's east of Atlanta. But I've heard a lot of good things. I have good friends that live down there and they say, yeah, Savannah is off the chain as far as food tours and things like that. So I guess that's why it's number one. Number two is Hudson Valley and Catskills. Take food tours through the Hudson Valley and the Catskills. And that's in New York. So there you go. Berkshire in Western Massachusetts, leaf peeping season. So I guess you go and see the leaves change colors. So I guess that's where you go. Berkshire in Western Massachusetts. Never been. So maybe I need to go check that out. Someone out there, give me a holler. Let me know when I can go get down there. New Orleans, number four. I like New Orleans. The Hamptons in Long Island, New York. I've heard that. That's a good place to go. That was number five. Austin, Texas. You know, I used to go to Austin back in the day. I mean, I'm talking 20-something, 30 years ago when it was not, obviously, University of Texas was always there, but it was not like the big music scene and food scene that it is now. So, and tech scene in Austin. So, obviously, there's something good going on in Austin. So, I haven't been in many years, but obviously, Austin is the place to be, or one of the places, at least the top six. Number seven is Atlanta. I love Atlanta. Southern hospitality. Number eight, Big Sur. That's in California, right? That's up north, along the coast. Big Sur, Pismo Beach. I think they're all in that same area. Correct me if I'm wrong. Number nine, surprising. Brooklyn, New York is number nine. That's the top. We're talking about the top 10 U.S. tourist destinations for 2019. Brooklyn is one of them. And I'm glad this one made the list. I was kind of shocked. I would be hurt if it didn't make the list. L.A., number 10, right? Number 10, L.A. And L.A. spread out. So for people that, are listening, well, they've been to L.A. and, L.A. is so sprawling and so big, spread out. You can't take it all in one day, right? Because it's so, you got downtown L.A., you got the airport area, you got Santa Monica, you have the Valley, you have, what am I missing? And then if you want, those are all in L.A. County, but if you want to go to Disneyland, that's in Orange County. And that's a side trip in its own, right? So that's about from downtown L.A., that's probably at least an hour south of Los Angeles or downtown Los Angeles. So people just don't know that. But, you got to come to L.A. and spend a whole week here in order to see, to take in its all the different things that L.A. has to offer. I mean, you got beaches in Santa Monica, but you got them in Venice. You got them in Orange County as well. So you got Huntington Beach. You have all these places. Yes, San Diego. That's still Southern California. Then if you want to go, widen it a little more, you got Santa Barbara. You got Palm Springs area. You have the mountains. You have all these things to do in the Southern California area. So it's, it's hard to, to say that L.A., well, what do you mean L.A.? What part of L.A.? But anyway, it made the list. So that's all we care about, right? I'm in L.A., so, I'm kind of happy to see that. Other news, panic buttons for housekeepers. Now, I heard this from a GM friend of mine several months ago that he has to put panic buttons with the housekeepers. Right? I don't know if it's going to be on their carts. I don't know if it's going to be actually on their person. Or I'm not sure, but they have to be like I don't know if it's just a one-way communication, just push the button and it goes to, I guess, a housekeeping supervisor or the manager or whoever's on duty, but it goes to them and then someone responds immediately, right? So that's in Miami, Florida, it's a law that got passed that all housekeepers, their departments, all housekeeping departments have to be equipped with panic buttons for their housekeepers. Now, being an old housekeeping manager myself, I can see that. I mean, this is something probably should have been done a long time ago because, guests and people that don't belong in a hotel, they can get kind of crazy sometimes. So I can see incidents happening where, I've heard things where guests get out of control, either they're drinking or they're not. They think they can have their way with people, just kind of that. I don't know why people become like that. They go to hotels and lose their minds, but I can see where someone would be uncomfortable and they need help. And sometimes for the most part, any hotel that I've been in, and I've been in a lot, they keep the doors open when they're cleaning the rooms. I mean, that's one reason why is because, for safety reasons, you don't want to go in, you don't want anyone to close the door behind you. Because then that's not a good thing, because people won't be able to see or they won't be able to hear. So, but if you have this panic button, I guess it wouldn't matter if the door was open or closed. You just push the button and then somebody's going to come to that location. So look out for that. And I'm not sure, I'm not as well versed on the property level as far as housekeeping is concerned, but I did have a conversation. In fact, the conversation was with, I believe it was Joe Tetesian, who was a guest on, he's a general manager at the Hilton in Pasadena. He was a guest on our show. And we had a side conversation about that, where, you know, that's basically where the industry is going. So, so obviously it is, because, like I said, this was an article, I can't remember whether this may have been in Skiff magazine as well. But in Miami, they have to have these, they have to find vendors and have this in place by August 2020. That's the law. And if they don't have it in by August 2020, then obviously some hotels are going to be fined because they didn't follow the rules or the regulations. So I don't know if that's the same thing in LA. You know, maybe I'll do a little research on that, because I didn't get a chance to do any research, but I'm gonna do some more research on that and see if it's something that the industry is asking you to do, or are there local laws that are telling you need to do that. Makes sense, right? But yeah, so you're trying to, because there's, like I said, a lot of assault, a lot of harassment, sexual assault, things like that, that does happen. Okay. You can look at the YouTube video for panic buttons in hotels. Housekeepers panic buttons. Just do a Google search for that, and some YouTube videos would come up. In fact, there's one with Diane Sawyer that did kind of an expose on this. So check that out. IHG is okay with third-party bookings. You know, we've been talking about this third-party bookings thing for a while now. You know, that some hotel companies, they want you to book direct. I mean, you'll see Hilton.com or Hilton International. They have commercials on TV where they want you to book on. They want you to book direct, right? And you'll get, was it low price guarantee? I think is what it's called. And you get 25% off if you find, you know, if you don't find a, if you find it somewhere else, a lower price somewhere else, they'll match their rate plus, you know, they'll take 25% off or whatever. Well, okay, Hilton's on board with that, and I think Marriott's on board with that too. But then you come up with IHG. This is, once again, it was one of these in one of the hotel magazines. This is basically IHG is Intercontinental Hotel Group. So they have like Holiday Inns. Who else do they have? They have Holiday Inns, Intercontinental Hotels, and they have Kempton Hotels. That's all under IHG. And they basically said that, you know, we're okay with third-party bookings. You know, I guess they figure, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, and that's fine, because they're, you have to have third parties, but I think it sends out a different message than the other top hotel companies are sending out. Okay. You see that other ones are spending money on it, and then you got IHG that's like, well, okay, hey, whatever. Let's, you know, we welcome it. Well, I mean, which is good. Like I said, that's good, but it seems like everybody should be on the same page. But, you know, but it's different companies, and maybe you can't be on the same page. I don't know. But it's one of those things that make you wonder and go, you know, several companies want this. You know, I mean, it's always going to happen. The third parties are always going to be there. But I, like I always say, I think you can limit the amount of exposure that they get. That's what, just what I think. And I'm all for it, because it's on holiday periods and low periods. You want the third parties, right? But sometimes you don't want them. You want to turn that spigot off sometime, or at least slow it down. But some hotels use the third parties as their reservation department. So there you go. There you go. So I just, this is things I'd like to share. We're on air with Russell Hotels. I'm just chopping it up. We're just talking about, what are we talking about right now? Industry news. So I'm going through some industry news. You know, I have a couple of topics we're going to go over, but we're going to get through this stuff first. What was the other one? Connect. This is something I just heard today. Now, I read this today. It was actually shared by another hotel site selection person, just like myself. I do hotel site selection, right? So this person sent me an email actually this morning, and he asked me, "Hey, did you see this?" It's basically a letter from Connect Meetings and Media Organization. So they do meetings, but they're a huge media organization. So they do media and marketing and all this kind of stuff for their meetings, for the most part. But they do other things as well. But back in February of this year, 2019, of course, they partnered with one of the big three or big four hotel site selection companies. And I'm trying to think, why would they partner with them? Why would they partner with anybody? Okay, because that kind of just leaves, you know, other third parties out in the cold, right? At least that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you're partnering with them, you're giving them all this love, but there's the other big two companies that aren't getting any love. You got little people like myself that aren't getting any love either. Although we do go to the Connect meetings. I mean, that's the thing. We get invited to go to the Connect meetings as well, but Connect is not loving on us like they're loving on this other third party company. You know, it's just another one of those things like, you know, why do organizations do what they do? They alienate some groups, but they want to take care of other groups. I don't know what that is or why that is. And I just went to a Connect meeting, and I may go to several others if I'm invited, but it just kind of makes you think, well, why should I go if they're going to put this particular group on a pedestal and then leave us kind of dangling? But I don't know. But just another one of those things that make you say, Contact information. How do you get in touch with Russell of Hotels or On Air with Russell of Hotels? You go to my email. Send me an email, russell@russellofhotels.com. You can go Twitter. Twitter is at Russell of Hotels. IG is Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn is Russell L. Edmond, E-D-M-O-N-D. Facebook is Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. Yes, I have two Facebook pages. And then my website is www.russellofhotels.com. For people who listen on the podcast, I am on Facebook Live as well. Just go to LA Talk Radio. You know, you go on the Facebook page and on the window, just type in LA Talk Radio. You just scroll down and you'll see me, you know, video of me, you know, talking. There you go. So that's how you find me on Facebook Live. And the show after this is a live show. Today is Tuesday, May 14th. I'm right? The 14th? Yeah, it's the 14th. I am live now at 1 o'clock every Tuesday, but after the show is over, it does become a podcast. So wherever your favorite podcast platform is, you listen to it. That's where you just go type in On Air with Russell of Hotels. Boom. There you go. Or go Google search On Air with Russell of Hotels. Boom. There you go. You'll find me. What is the Russell of Hotels group? Well, it's a group of things that I do. That's basically what it is. It's, I do hotel site selection. I just mentioned that just a couple minutes ago, hotel site selection. So companies, organizations, they will contact me and say, or I find them, however, you know, we come across each other, and they need assistance with their meetings or, you know, hotel based meetings for the most part. So the venues that they're looking for or looking at are hotels. They just give me the destination where they're interested in. I'll do all the legwork as far as finding the hotel that's suitable for their meeting specs. So they'll let me know how many rooms they're going to need, how many people are going to be attending, you know, are they going to need breakfast, lunch, dinner, general session, all that kind of stuff. So 10 rooms is a group, but we do, I mean, if it's 1,000 people, then we could do 1,000 people. So it doesn't, the size does not matter. You just let me know and we'll make it happen. So that's one thing that I do, digital marketing via social media. So if you look at all my social media pages, and I just mentioned what those were, LinkedIn, Twitter, IG, Facebook, you'll see the videos that I kind of produce. So I produce videos as well as I do postings for smaller organizations, hotels that maybe don't have the funds to do with a big company. You ask Russell of Hotels to do it, and Russell of Hotels would do it. And give you some relevancy. Does that make sense? Relevancy? Is that a word? Relevancy? To be relevant? Because that's all social media is about. Is about staying in front of people and being relevant, right? So if you're not doing social media, I mean, everyone has to do it, okay? You have a company, you have an organization, hotel in this case. You need to put things out, right? So if you're not putting things out, if you're not getting the engagement that you think you should, you know, give me a call and I'm sure I can assist you with that. And it's all about the hashtags. If anybody listened to the show last week, and if you haven't listened to the show last week, you can go back and, you know, on the podcast and listen to it. Because I specifically was talking about being, you know, hashtags or your postings working? Are people looking at your posting? Are people finding your postings? You're putting all this effort, or maybe you're not putting a lot of effort. Maybe you're just doing it every now and then. You got to be consistent. I mentioned that last week too. Just be consistent with your social media postings. Are you being consistent? Are you using the right hashtags? You put the right hashtags on it, people are going to see it. You're going to, you know, form these things called impressions. I mean, it's going to go to these mobile devices and people are going to see it. So, and that's what you want, right? So, but if you're not getting a lot of engagement or a lot of impressions, you're like, well, maybe you need to rethink that, your strategy. And that's when you call Russell of Hotels and say, hey, you know what? I have a question about this whole social media thing. You know, I'm not getting the engagement that I think I deserve. So that's, I'll assist you with that as well as, you know, meetings and things like that too. Hotel and destination video producer. I mentioned that if you go to my site, you'll see the videos that I've done. I think the last video I did was for or with the Paseo in Huntington Beach. Shauna Chavez. Hello, Shauna. Hope all is well. So check out that video. It's on LinkedIn. It's on Twitter. It's on IG. So check it out. And then I'm a radio show host. I interview today's hospitality professionals. Today is an exception. Yeah, I don't have one today. I'm the hospitality professional today. So, and like I mentioned earlier, I'll do, three shows with I'll interview people, and then I'll do two shows just to catch up on, you know, hospitality industry news and things like that. Cause the interview is going on, I can't do that cause we're focusing on the person I'm interviewing. But next week I'm going to be in Denver at the JW Marriott in Cherry Creek. And I'll just turn this around, give them a little pub. So I'm going to be there next week, and I'm going to be interviewing Ms. Amy Beardsley, who's sales manager of leisure sales at the JW Cherry Creek, which is in Denver, Colorado. So I'm actually going to be there for a couple sites I have because I have a program coming up. So doing a last walkthrough before the program starts next month. So I'll be there next week. So I'll be remote and I'll be interviewing Miss Amy Beardsley. And then after that, I actually been in conversation with someone that works for, you know, we haven't done cruise lines, right? We haven't talked about that at all. So I have this friend, actually met her via my organization that I belong to is called Travel Massive, which is a group of travel bloggers. And her name is Sarah Good. She's actually in Thailand, and her last company that she worked with, cruise line company was Cunard. So we're going to talk to her about, you know, she's a cruise director or in charge of entertainment or something like that. She's like the Julie McCoy. I don't know if I'm dating myself. Talk about the Love Boat. Does anyone remember back in the 80s, the Love Boat, you know, it was a show about, you know, people that went on cruises and things like that. And everybody fell in love and all that crap. But anyway, Julie McCoy was the cruise director. And this girl, my friend, Sarah, is like the Julie McCoy. So it's going to be interesting. So we've already talked about doing it. It's just that we got to come with a date because she's in Thailand. And I think right now in Thailand, it's, I don't know, early in the morning. It's probably 3 o'clock in the morning. I think that's what it is. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so, well, normally people will sleep at 3 a.m, right? So she has to agree to be awake at that, you know, at the time. So we'll see. We'll get her on it. But that's going to be interesting. So make sure you keep in tune with what's going on. Who's on blast? Now, what does being on blast mean? Being on blast means it's not a bad thing, people. At least this on blast is not a bad thing. It has to do with people that I want on the show. So there's people that I respect in the industry. I respect a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. But these people, they've either helped me out or something. We went to school together or they're good friends or whatever, or just people that I'm intrigued to get to know or learn more about what they do. And those are the people that I've kind of selected in my head that I want on the show. Now, first one is Larry Broughton. Larry Broughton, CEO of Broughton Hotels. It's actually his company. Brian Churchill, he's a vice president of hotel sales for LA Tourism. Nellie, a.k.a. Foodie Call. She's a local, She's a local, I'm looking at an email that I just got and is making me laugh. But Nellie, a.k.a. Foodie Call, she's a local food blogger. So she does a lot of interesting things, tastes a lot of food. She goes around. I think she even went to China to do that. So I want her on the show just to, you know, pick her brain, see what's going on, find out a little bit about her. Everybody has a story. She has a story, too. Foodie Call. Luis Torres, he's with Universal Studios. You know, what's going on at Universal Studios? What's new? I mean, did anybody heard about Universal Studios lately? I mean, I don't know. But there's some new stuff going on, I'm sure. And we want to get the 411 on what's going on. So that's what we do on the On Air with Russell Fotel show. We're educational, and plus we get the 411 on stuff. I'm just joking about that. Kenya Bannister Stamps, Associate VP of Sales and Service, Long Beach CVB, or what they call it, Visit Long Beach. Now, I mentioned this. I gave her a disclaimer because I know she's new in her position, and I'm going to give her a little slack, but not a lot. But she's still on blast, and she's still on the list, so I'm not taking it off. Samuel Thompson and Matthew Diamond. I actually put them on there last week. I said I was only going to keep it to five. But you know what? I want these guys. I want these guys. They're on the hit list. They're not just on the blast. They're on the hit list. So I want these guys on here. Their company is called Sync Meeting Management. So they manage meetings. So say I have this meeting. I do site selection, and it's just too big for me to handle. Say it's 5,000 people. Well, I'll call Sam and Matt and say, hey, I have this meeting that 5,000 people. Can you help me manage it? And that's when they jump in, and that's what they do. Of course, it's not free. It's a fee, you know, but they'll jump in, and they have a whole team of people to do it. So that's why I want them on the show, because it's all about collaboration, right? So there you go. That's the new word for the 2019, collaborate. Thank you to the Hilton Woodland Hills. They invited me to a client appreciation party last week. And they had this thing. It was really interesting, very interesting team building, right? So all these, you know, people come to the, I'll say this 100 people. Let's just say it's 100 people. So everybody got broken up into groups for this team building exercise. Well, the team building was, it was a chef that was there who was, I guess he's written several books, and he's basically the team building was everyone come together, bringing in the teams. I think it can be as many as six people on a team, and they're preparing food for you to eat, you know, later on, right? So everyone had 25 minutes to get to the team, to get to your table, and the, you know, all the ingredients were there. So our team, there was only three of us. It was mushrooms and vegetables, right? So you look and like, what is this? And ricotta cheese. There is all on the table. You had utensils. You had everything. You had hand sanitizer. You had gloves. You had everything, right? So you go there, and they had little instructions. So they had one chef hat. So you had to pick who's going to be the designated chef. And I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he grabbed the hat. We didn't even appoint him. He just took it. But that's fine. That's fine. So he put the hat on, but he was in charge of reading exactly what we had to do. So it was every team, like I said, had different. They're basically small bites. Appetizers, if you will. So ours was, we had a bunch of mushrooms, button mushrooms, right? The white ones. So you would take the stems off, pop them off, and you would cut up the stem. So let's say we had 30 mushrooms. So we had to take off the stem to 30 mushrooms, put the caps aside, chop up the stems into pretty fine. And then you would chop up vegetables. They had onions, they had shallots, bell peppers or whatever, and you wanted to dice those up pretty fine as well. And then you put them in a bowl, and then you mix the ricotta cheese with that, mix it all up, and then you stuff it in the button, right? And then they baked it off. So you give it to the chef or one of the chef's helper. They would take it to the back. They would put it in the oven and come back, and it's all prepared. It's all gooey, and it looks good. It's all delish and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's what we did. So other people had other things. Other people had, as I recall, like chicken skewers, you know, like, you know, things like that. Or some people had sushi. They're making sushi. So that was pretty good. In fact, the sushi didn't even make it to the table. People were walking by eating the sushi before it made it to the display table for everybody to look at and marvel at what everyone made and to take pictures. The sushi never even made it to the table. Okay. And I was one of the ones, because they had, of course, vegan sushi, right? Didn't have any fish in it, no seafood, nothing like that. So it was just basically, what was it? Rice and seaweed. I guess that's what it was, but it was very tasty. But yeah, it was the funnest thing. And, you know, you got to meet and learn. Although I don't remember the two guys that were on the team with me. I know they worked for the Woodland Hills Chamber. That's all I know. But we had a lot of fun. It was like 25 minutes and it was done. At least that's how long it took us. Now, the other teams, they were still working. But it was the funnest thing. In fact, this guy has a book out. So anybody interested in it, say, I always want to give people, you know, give everyone a little pub out there. Publicity. What was it? Team Building by Cooking. It's called Team Building by Cooking. The chef and the author's name is Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff. His name is Chef. Chef Jim Connolly, author of Cooking Team Building, how you can access the hearts of your employees by way of their stomachs. Isn't that something? I'll read that again. The chef or the author, his name is Chef Jim Connolly. Book is Cooking Team Building, how you can access the hearts of your employees by way of their stomachs. You had me when I walked in the door and they said, oh, you're going to be preparing food. I'm like, first, I was like, I didn't come here to prepare any food. I just want to see what they have and eat and go home. But they rolled back the door and everything was all set up and it was music and it was a lot of fun, little energy. So it was good. So team building is different. You know, you're not outside, you're in a hotel. Like, say you're doing a conference or whatever, and you want to do something a little different. I'm sure other people do this too, but this was well planned out. And the menu, like I said, it was small bites. So it wasn't anything that was so sophisticated that you couldn't do it. You just follow the instructions. All the equipment was there. And Chef Jim was actually there as well. He had several helpers and it was great. It was one of the funnest things. So thank you to the Hilton Woodland Hills for inviting me to that, because that was something I definitely will carry, you know, and tell people about, because that's what you want. And what do you call that? You guys remember what we talked about last week? It's called FOMO. You know, fear of missing out. So if I post that stuff, people are like, what the heck was this? And then they also had this, it was just interesting. Well, I mean, everyone has a photo booth, right? But it's normally, you know, a backdrop, whatever, photo booth, whatever, wah-wah, you've seen them all, you know, and repeat. Okay, yeah, take a picture, yeah. Well, this one was actually a VW bug that you sat in and took a picture. So it was the camera inside the bug. So you sat basically in the back seat and you could take a picture in there. That was one of the coolest things. In fact, I posted that on one of those social media, probably all of them, not LinkedIn though, Twitter and IG. I know I put that on, and maybe even Facebook. So check that out. Check out my Twitter and IG page and you'll see the picture of the bug. It's like this lime green bug. And you can see somebody sitting in the back seat taking pictures. I actually didn't get in it, but it was the coolest thing. So something different, right? Something creates a buzz. It keeps the Hilton relevant because they're doing things for they're appreciating their clients. They're doing things that are out of the box. They're having people cook food or prepare food and they're it themselves. Client appreciation, and you actually have to do the work. Who does that, right? But it worked, right? So it worked. So just make sure you check those things out and keep your eyes open or keep your horizons open. Don't be tunnel vision. Just kind of think, oh, that's different. You know, my people may like that. You know, there's a lot of different things for as far as team building. You don't have to be outside to do team building. You have to be running on the beach and all this kind of stuff. You don't have to do that. Do something fun. Do something where people are going to love it and eat. That's what it's all about, right? Eat. I ain't going to talk about the drinks, okay, because my mom's listening and she got on me about She goes, oh, you sure drink a lot. I'm like, no, I don't drink a lot. I'm just talking about the stuff that I, you know, encountered. But she took that as, and she's listening, and she took that as, you know, oh, he's drinking. He drinks beer all the time. No, I don't drink beer all the time. But anyway, so, oh, God, that's funny. Diamonds and stars. Now, this is, you know, hotels are ranked or rated by the diamonds. You know, who ranks the diamonds and the stars? You know, some people say, oh, it's a 3-star hotel. Well, star system is actually not even the U.S. system. That's some, I think they use that in Europe, maybe Asia, things like that. And there's no consistency in that. There may be Michelin stars, and those are basically restaurants. You know, oh, he got a Michelin star or things like that. So Michelin is more, that's for the food industry. So the best top restaurants or whatever, you know, oh, they got a Michelin star for this. Well, that means the chef is, you know, he's on point and his food is on point and his restaurant's on point. But as far as hotels are concerned, it's the here in the U.S. Let's just take it for the U.S. It's the diamond. So how many diamonds you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 5, right? And who gives those diamonds is AAA. So AAA, so, you know, you say, well, what kind of hotel is it? Because everybody always asks me, well, what star is that or what diamond? I say, well, I don't really correct people because, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just telling you what the best hotel is. I mean, if you're asking me that, that's basically what that means. Well, what is the best hotel? Well, I mean, that's kind of subjective too, but only certain hotels, you know, most hotels that I see here in LA are 3-star. For the most part, you know, you throw all those hotels in there together. Some Hiltons, some Marriotts, some Courtyards, Hilton Garden Inns. You know, it's based on, a lot of it's based on the service they provide, renovation, you know, the style, the decor, the curb appeal. I mean, a lot of stuff is determined on a lot of things because I'm not sure if you guys have ever gone through a, excuse me, a AAA inspection, but let me tell you, I have. And the questions they ask are pretty intense sometimes, especially if you have a hotel that's between a 2 and a 3. You're like, oh, my God, I hope we don't get dinged enough where it's going to be a 2-star. But I've been in that situation before. I'm not going to name the hotel, but it was right before renovation and it was teetering on a, I was going to say 2.5. No, it wasn't even teetering on a 2.5. It was a solid 2. But the AAA person, I think they were a little lenient on some things. Because it has to do with like TVs. What size TV do you have? Do you still have the old TVs? Are they HD TVs? And I'll ask you specifically, what type of TV is this? And you need to be prepared to answer some of these questions. What linen? What kind of linen is that? What's the thread count? Are you still using bedspreads versus, you know, duvets and things like that? So there's a lot of things. What's the last renovation? When are you scheduled for a renovation? Do you have a restaurant? Is that what the restaurant hours? So all those things that determine what your star or diamond, that's the official thing is a diamond. So AAA, you know, AAA, you know, your insurance, you know, your AAA card. Remember, you can go to AAA. I mean, not AAA. You can check in and get 10% off if you have that AAA card, right? So you actually make a reservation and say, hey, I'm a AAA member. If that's the best rate, first of all, you want to go with what's the best rate. But if they don't have any other discounts available, ask about the AAA rate. That's what you pay for, right? So throughout United States, everybody accepts the AAA rate. So you can make that online. You can call them and just mention the AAA rate. Only thing you have to do now is make sure you present that card. So make sure you have the card available when you check in because they're going to check for it. They're going to make sure it's valid or number does exist. So just make sure of that. But it's the same AAA. So just make sure, I mean, like I said, the most hotels in LA or in the United States, well, I'll just say LA because I'm not going to say everything, every place I've been. But in LA, most of them that I've been to are 3-star hotels. The difference between the 3 and 4-star, then you get into a little bit more, you know, service, say more valet parking, 5-star, you know, it's valet parking, but then they're escorting you from the valet, you know, and they're introducing you to the front desk, you know, so it's extended service. So it's more than what you would normally expect from a, you know, just, oh, you park your own car and okay, it's right over there. You know, I'll point to it, that kind of thing. So no, it's more, excuse me, service oriented, where they're actually going to escort you from your car, get your bags, take you to the front desk. Oh, this is Mr. Edmund. He's checking in today. You know, that kind of thing. Or they know you before you even get there. You know, how does that work? Because I was at a, I was at the JW in the one in Palm Springs. What's it called? The JW Desert Springs. Desert Springs Marriott. JW, right? So I was there. And I mean, I knew that they were expecting me to come, but I drive up and I don't know if he looked at me and he had, you know, a portrait of me from LinkedIn. I don't remember what it was. Well, maybe there weren't that many black people checking in today and I happened to be that one. I don't know, but he didn't know what kind of car I was driving. He didn't know any of that stuff. So I drive up and he automatically comes out and said, Mr. Edmund. Like, I didn't even ask how he even knew. So I just, you know, I was blown away by that. That's, and he walked me to the front desk and introduced me. Well, first he took my bags and walked me to the front desk, you know, made small talk, all that kind of stuff. So those things will separate you from a 3-star to a 4-star or a 4-star to a 5-star. Now, 5-star hotels, there's only, I think there's less than 100 5-stars in the U.S. from what I understand. There's less than 100 5-star hotels in the U.S. But there's, you know, there's quite a few 4-stars. I think the JW must be between the 4 and the 5. I'm really not even sure what it was, but I just know the service was great. I mean, like I said, anytime they know who you are before you even check in, you got me at that point. You know, I'm a fan at that point. So they took us in and we just had a great time. That's when Matthew Diefenbach was the director of sales there. So shout out to Matthew Diefenbach. He's no longer there. I think he's at La Quinta, but that's the last time I was at that hotel. So I don't know why I even said that. I just like name dropping, I guess. But anyway, so that's the difference between, I mean, we're talking about diamonds and stars. Stars are basically the European system, which is inconsistent. They don't have like a AAA going around to each one. Now, if you get into like the third parties like Expedia, Hotels.com, they have their own ranking system. I don't know how they come with their ranking system. I don't know if it has to do with how many people have booked at that hotel before and they give these hotels higher stars or rankings or whatever. I guarantee you it's different than the AAA because no one from Expedia is going to each hotel with a list of probably a 10-page list and going down the list and saying, okay, you have this, you have that. They're not doing that. So I don't know what it's based on, but it's not based on the same system that AAA is. So AAA is one that's been around for a long time. And I, you know, I would believe in that system before I believe in anyone else. Not taking anything away from anyone else, but I just know the AAA system. And I, like I said, I've been through several of those inspections. And if your hotel is up to par, it's fine. But if it's not, I mean, it can be real uncomfortable. And I believe me, you talking about, you know, being uncomfortable. I've been in an uncomfortable situation, and one of those was with AAA. So, oh boy, I still remember it too. Oh my goodness. So that's all I want to talk about today. So we're talking about 3-star hotels, or most of those in LA, I think, for the most part, are 3-star hotels, which are fine. They give the service. They get everything that you're looking for the most part. But if you want that step up, try a 4, try a 5-star, and see the difference. And then let me know. Say, hey, I took your word for it. I tried to see what the difference was, and this is what my experience was. It's all about the experience. Remember, I said that last week. I keep saying it. It's all about the experience. What experience do you want when you go to a destination or a hotel or a restaurant or whatever? I mean, and you pay for that experience, right? So does that mean because you're a 5-star hotel that the rate is going to be, you know, $500? Well, it could be. It could be. So it just depends. But guess what? Some of those 5-star hotels, they all have dates or periods of time when they're not $500. So you can always get some better rates if it's all about the dates. It's all about availability. It's that old marketing thing, you know. So whatever, it's all about supply and demand. That's what I was talking about, the whole marketing thing, supply and demand. So sometimes the demand is not that great. And guess what happens when the supply is not, or the demand is not that great? There's more supplies, which means the rate is going to be lower. So Palm Springs in the summer, just a little tidbit of information. You want to experience some of the 4 and 5 star hotels? Go to Palm Springs in the summer. The price is not going to be the same as it is in their peak season. It's going to be 200 degrees out there, but hey, they have pools. So that's what, go out there and have a drink, get in the pool, experience it. So it's all about the experience. Just remember that. I'm closing up, but I'm going to end this with the top meeting cities in the U.S. Is that what this is? I think it is. I don't know. I get these things mixed up. First one, those are top meeting destinations. Orlando is number one. You know, they have a convention center that's 2.1 million square feet. Did not know that. Las Vegas is number two. That's not surprising. I thought Las Vegas would be number one. Chicago is number three. Now, just think about this. Chicago snows like crazy and it's cold. So you're only booking in probably a 3 or 4 month window, because that's probably when the best weather is. So just think about it like that. Chicago, despite all the coldness and snow and all that stuff, they're still number three as far as meetings are concerned. People want to go to Chicago. Chicago's a cool town. If you haven't been there, that downtown area is phenomenal. San Diego. There you go. San Diego's in there. Atlanta, Dallas, Nashville, New York, and Washington, D.C. I don't see L.A. in there. What's going on? Anyway, maybe if someone from L.A. Tourism would come on here, we could talk about why they're not on this list. No, that's just me being funny. So don't take that serious, people. OK, but anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm winding down. See, I have guests on, and then when the guests aren't on, I get to talk more. You get to hear about me, get to hear how much fun I like doing this radio show, how much fun I have doing this radio show. So anyway, but thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Remember, next week we're going to be at the JW Marriott in Cherry Creek, which is in Denver, Colorado. I'm going to be interviewing Amy Beardsley. She's the sales manager with Leisure Sales, or of Leisure Sales. We'll see what that even means, right? I mean, I'm curious to know what the heck that is. No, I know what it is, but I want you guys to know, because it's all about education, right? So with that, you guys have a great day. And remember, go out and experience something. It's all about the experience, right? So go out and experience and it has to be something hospitality related, right? Because that's what our show is about, right? So hotel, a destination you ever been to, a restaurant you want to try. I mean, go out and experience these things. And then let me know how it was, or at least let yourself know, like, oh, this was a great experience. It's not about the stay. It's not about just your food. It's about everything. So it's about the experience. Just remember that. Okay. So have a great day. We will see you next week. And thank you again for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.